introducing a man I just met, but I already like him. I'm sure Mrs. Pugh will be happy to hear that. So Brother Mike McCombe is certainly well known around this church. He's a missionary with BIMI, served overseas in Albania for many years, and then as a regional representative for BIMI. I spoke with Daniel this afternoon, Daniel Wakefield, and he told me that, well, he was out at West Coast, that he had the opportunity to hear him speak multiple times as well. So maybe if we all sit up straight and listen real well, he'll tell us a story or two about Brother Daniel. We'll see. I know that he's still with BIMI and that he's currently at Central Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee. So thank you for being here. Please preach to us tonight.
Tim, appreciate that. Amen. Well, it's good to be here back at Buffalo Ridge. And I know a few things about Daniel. And I won't blackmail him, though, okay? But he was in some of my missions classes. Sometimes I had to substitute for a couple of different missions teachers. One of those was Dr. Don Sisk, and he just passed away 2 days ago at only 93 years of age. And I always enjoyed filling in for one of his missions classes and several times. And I think maybe Daniel could have been in there. I don't remember. I didn't know him well in those days. But it's good to know he and his family here on the staff. We have been serving with BIMI since 1993, we were approved. I had, before 1993, we had planted churches up in the Boston area of Massachusetts, which was a mission field then. It still is today. And one of the churches we planted will be 50 years old this month. And thank the Lord for what all God did. And then the Lord began to open up Eastern Europe from the throes of communism, and the Lord began to deal in our hearts about the need to take the gospel to one of those fields. And God particularly spoke to our hearts about the former communist country of Albania in Eastern Europe. If you're not sure where that is, it's right above Greece and Macedonia. In fact, if you'll look at your Bible sometime in Romans 15, verse 19, Paul said, through mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Illyricum is the ancient name of Illyria, or modern name of Albania. So even the Apostle Paul was there on at least one missions trip, maybe more, we don't know. But we went there in 1993. Albania had just come out of communism, and I'll mention more about that in my message. But for the last 20 years, we have represented BIMI. For 14 years out on the West Coast, and we headquartered in Lancaster, California, out of Lancaster Baptist Church, and we were all over the West traveling, preaching missions conferences, encouraging people to really get involved in their local churches about plugging into their missions programs, either by all the above. Perhaps God might be calling you to the mission field. Or if God has not called you to the mission field, you need to be active right here in your home-based church, reaching souls of the gospel. And then we preached a lot on faith promise missions giving, and that we can all pray for our missionaries, the Sissons we've known for years. In fact, we may have been somewhere in candidate school together, I'm not totally sure, but we go way back. We know all their children, and praise the Lord for the good work that's going on there. Amen. We have some of our prayer cards out on the little round table as you come go out the door this evening. If you would take one of these and pray for us. We would certainly appreciate your prayers. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm thankful to Pastor Herdman for allowing me to come. I'm sorry it was under the circumstances of a dear friend in ministry that passed away, and so be praying for their return home. Look here in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, down through verse 16. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," Jesus said to his disciples. "But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus said, "Ye," in other words, the disciples then, and I believe the Lord is still giving this message to us today in 2026, "Ye are the light of the world," or mankind. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." What good's a candle without being able to use it and put it on a candlestick? "And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Four times Jesus mentioned the importance of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when we were missionaries in Albania, right away, we found that the country had been extremely darkened by 50 years of communism, atheism, and spiritual blindness. They had the largest radio station in all of Europe, and they broadcasted their communism and their atheism all across Europe, and particularly to some of those countries that may have later on fallen to communism. And the dictator of Albania at the time, his name was Enver Hoxha. And on his radio station one day, he said, "We have stepped on the head of Jesus Christ and put God in the museum. And we proudly announced that we are the first totally atheistic country in the world." In other words, he bragged to the other communist countries and all over Europe, even into Western Europe, "We have the distinction of being the first totally atheistic country in the world." That's a pretty bold statement, is it not? As a result, when we first arrived in 1993, soon after the fall of communism, you know, God had different ideas than Enver Hoxha and the communists did. We found that a godless society had become not only morally and spiritually corrupted, it lay bankrupt and in ruins in every other way: financially, educationally, structurally, etc. There were no churches. There was no gospel being preached. There was no religion whatsoever. In fact, Christians were probably the first that came in the country, if you can imagine. Thank God for that. Let that, although, be a warning to us in America. As we have passed our 250th anniversary, that atheism and communism don't work, never worked, and never will work. Now, this is not a political speech, but I've seen the results of communism. I've traveled in a number of former communist countries, not only in Eastern Europe, but also I went on a missions trip with a good friend out of our sending church in Cleveland, Ohio, and Brother Jim and I went to the country of communist Cuba, amen, in the early 1990s while Fidel Castro was still in power. That was right before my wife and I left for the country of Albania. Boy, did I get a wake-up call. We could see a little bit of what we were in for when we went to Albania, as we saw what communism had already been doing and is still doing in countries like communist Cuba. For the years we lived in the capital city of Albania, which was Tirana, we had very little electricity, very little water, absolutely hardly no heat, no air conditioning, for several years no phones, no internet, not too good of food, good roads, and etc. And the list goes on and on. My daughter can attest to that. She has been there, so has our son. And we often went 6 to 12 hours a day in the capital city without electricity. You didn't have to travel far up into the mountains, into the villages, and they usually went 12 to 20 hours in the villages without electricity. Can you imagine living like that? So candles often were a necessity, not a decoration. Years later, we bought one generator in one automatic power system, APS, for our house and our church, which were on the same property. We took water only a maximum of 2 times per day for 45 minutes. So if you had any laundry to do or you wanted to get rid of the stink and get in the shower, you had maybe 45 minutes. Fortunately, our landlord on our rental house had put a holding tank up on the roof, a flat roof. And thank the Lord, when the water did come on, it filled the water tank. Praise the Lord for that, or we would rarely have had water. The two things we found most difficult in Albania, in a communist country, former communist country, was the great lack of light, physically and spiritually. Light is an important commodity, especially spiritually, and few in Albania had it. You see, you could travel not very far from where we lived, and we know before communism fell, because I've heard testimonies, that the Communist Party leaders and political elites had everything they needed and wanted. Electricity, water, good food, everything. But the common people went without. The Communist Party members always had power, lights, and water, but the common people went without. I remember one day, it was the middle of summer, we got this pounding on our gate, and I went to the gate, and there was a neighbor woman that had three girls, her girls with her, little girls, various ages, and the mother was crying, we have not had any water in our fifth story apartment for 5 days. Can you give us some water? What would you have said to her? Of course I said, you come in. She had containers and we gladly filled them up for her. Our church had a lighted sign even when the generator had to come on. And many people came to visit our church to visit because it was the only light on when the lights went out in our whole neighborhood. Okay? And praise the Lord, they were not only attracted to the physical light, But once they got into the church house, they were attracted to the light of Jesus Christ and the glorious gospel. You know, you never fully understand and appreciate what you don't have until you discover that you went so long without it, and that you didn't fully realize or understand your need for it. And this especially holds true concerning the lost souls that don't fully realize and understand their desperate need for salvation in Jesus Christ alone, the light and the water of life. Now, as Christians, and I'm not comparing us to communists or political elites that we have in our own nation and around the world, but I ask you tonight, Christians, what are we doing with the greatest of all gifts, the light and the water of life, which is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ? Jesus said in John 8, verse 12 to his disciples, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's eternal life. Perhaps you know of someone, maybe a neighbor, it may be someone at work, it may be a family member. They're still walking in spiritual darkness. They need the light of life. Jesus Christ, He is the only answer for them. And I want to focus here tonight on three verses, particularly in Matthew 5 and verse 14 and verse 15 and 16. Jesus said, first of all, ye are the light of the world. You know, I see, as a Christian, when I went forward during an invitation after the pastor in that little country church in Springer, Oklahoma, not maybe 40 miles from where I grew up, he gave the invitation after his gospel message. He preached from Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, the Holy Spirit of God used that one verse to prick my heart and my conscience and my need of having Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And it was that Sunday morning back in May of 1973, that's going way back, isn't it, that I walked forward during that invitation and knelt at the altar, and Pastor Jackson came down and put his arm around me. Said, Mike, would you like to be saved today and know it? Would you like to have the light of Jesus in your heart? I said, oh, I would. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of trusting everything else with salvation, but the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. You know, we as Christians all have the personal privilege and duty to spread the light of Jesus to a lost and dying world. And that begins right around us. A city, Jesus said, that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I remember how many times the power went off and I would go up to our second floor, and we had a small balcony, and we lived in a city, the capital city of Tirana, of 1 million people. And they would shut the lights off in one section, and then it might be off for several hours, and then they'd turn it back on and automatically shut another whole section off of the city, and section by section by section. And when the power went off, I sometimes would walk out on the balcony, because we were kind of on a hill and we could see some of the city, and I used to think, it's not fair. They have power and we don't. And I would look up to the mountains that encompassed the capital city of Tirana. There was Mount Diety off to my right, off to the east. And it was a tall mountain. We used to go up through that mount, those mountains, and go to mountain villages and give the gospel and have VBS, Vacation Bible Schools, for the kids. And we saw a lot of people saved in the villages. I remember looking out from that dark balcony in neighborhood where we lived when the power went out, and I could see sometimes at a far distance up on Mount Diety, one or two lights. And then I longed for light, okay? And then I'd look further off the horizon, pitch dark out, and about 30 miles north and east was the city, ancient city of Kruja. And they had all their lights on. And you know, Jesus was right. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let me ask you, Christian, are you set on a hill? Because we're all, if we're saved, we are the light of the world. Amen? Oh, listen. Are you a city set on a hill, shining bright for Jesus? Jesus said in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Are we personally sharing the light of Jesus to everyone, first of all, in our house and family? We need to be. Ye are the light of the world. That's a personal privilege as a Christian, to share that light. Secondly, it says in verse number 16, let. I like that word, don't you? Let or allow. That's a personal choice. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, each believer in Christ has a free will. And Jesus was talking about that in verse 16. Let your light so shine. That's our personal will and the decision God leaves up to each of us. But the question is, what do we decide to do? Oh, I just don't feel, I don't feel adequate, or I don't have the time to share the gospel with someone today. We've made a choice then, have we not? Each believer in Christ has a free will to do with the light of Jesus what we should do with it. And then it says in verse 16, we see not only a personal privilege and a personal choice, but we see a personal gift. Jesus said, let your light, your light. My friend, if you're saved tonight, you have the light of Jesus. Amen. You know, I couldn't wait for the power of the lights to go on in Albania. I want it to be my light for a while. Amen. But I have something far important to share with people than turning a light switch on or off. Amen. Have you been sharing the personal gift of eternal life? Maybe it's a gospel tract. We handed out thousands of these little tracts, The Way to God, in the Albanian language. Let me tell you, and it's not just for children, but the children love this tract because it was illustrated, okay? Had picked little graphics in it about Jesus and the cross and Jesus dying on a cross and rising again. And the children, they spread the word. We'd go into a village, we'd pass out two or three of those, and the children would spread all over the village. Hey, go see the missionary. He's got some gift for you. And boy, I'll tell you, I don't know how many thousands of those we gave out. How about a New Testament? Praise the Lord. We were able to print, I believe, 400,000 marked editions of the John and Romans. This is not it. This is English. In the Albanian language, marked edition to show God's simple plan of salvation. What a treat that was. Oh, you're the light of the world, a personal privilege. Let a personal choice. Let your light, a personal gift. And then we go there in verse 16, let your light. Your light. It's a personal responsibility. In other words, Jesus said, put it on a candlestick. You know, when the power went off at home in Albania, we always had a candle, several candles laying all around the house. And even in the dark, we knew where we could locate it. And the matches were there. And then we got real modern and we started carrying flashlights around. Okay? We couldn't wait to turn on the light and use the light. Why? Because it benefited not only us, but everyone else in the house, which was usually just my wife, okay? But unless our kids came to visit, all right? And they remember how dark it got. So put it on a candlestick so everyone around us may see the light of life, Jesus Christ. Are you holding him bright? Are you holding up the candlestick of the light of life? Are you shining that flashlight so others can see the true, real gift, a personal gift for them? Oh, it's a personal responsibility to share the light. Amen. And then fifthly, Jesus said, let your light so shine. Man, that's pretty demonstrative. Amen. It's a personal intensity of light. Let me see. Let me ask you tonight, how bright is your witness for Jesus Christ? How bright is your light? You know, that's really determined by you and I ourselves individually. Amen. Oh, we used to teach this song to the kids, both in English and Albanian. I'm not going to sing it too long, okay? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What was the next verse? Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. And the song goes on and on. Just ask your kids or your grandkids. They know how the song goes. The kids love that song. Amen. We ought to love it too. Amen. As adults, let your light so shine, a personal intensity. And then I'd say verse 16, number 6, let your light so shine before men, which is a personal testimony. Amen. You know, I'm thankful that we as Christians in America have the liberty to share our testimony of our salvation. There are many countries in this world that you cannot do that. You'd be hauled off to prison. I remember I went to Cuba that time with my friend Jim, and we were walking down a dirt road, and we were handing out tracts in communist Cuba, okay? And I remember seeing a man on the porch sitting there, and I went over to him, and I stepped up a step, and I gave him a gospel tract in Spanish. And Brother Jim, he knew a little bit of Spanish, and there was a sign over that man's door. He was the neighborhood communist informant for that neighborhood. Okay? It's a wonder I didn't get thrown in the jail and I wasn't still there right today in communist Cuba. But he didn't do anything, and I hope he read the tract and got saved. Amen? But you never know who you're going to give one to. Amen? But don't be afraid. God's with us, amen? So shine before men. Let's share our personal testimony. If you're saved, you've got something to share with others that are lost. There are lost souls all around us. 8 billion souls around this world today. Then let's look there in verse 16. I see that they may see your good works. You know, it's amazing, we're in the summertime, how many bugs are attracted to the light at night. I bet you go out, get away from you pesky mosquitoes and gnats and everything else that just shoots right for the light. You turn the porch light on, there they are. Okay? They like the light. Amen? Now, I'm not comparing lost souls to pesky bugs. So don't go out of here saying that. Okay? But you know what? They're in darkness. And we should let our light so shine that they may see your good works, our good works. That's a personal accounting. Amen? A lost world cannot see the light living within us if our lives are dulled with sin or indifference. Amen? You ever have to clean your lamp out on your front porch or on your garage because it's just nasty? Why is that light shining, not shining so bright? And you go out there at night and the spiders have built spider webs all over it and everything else is, you know, made a mess on it, you know? We need to keep our light shining brightly through a good testimony for Jesus Christ. And then last but not least, and Jesus said in verse 16, may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let me ask you something. Who is more worthy to be glorified than our Heavenly Father? Amen? Glorify your Heavenly Father, which is in heaven. That is a personal relationship. And the more personal our relationship gets with God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, the more soul conscious we will be, the more light we're going to want to spread. It's a personal relationship and rejoicing. And my friends, we should always be glorifying our Father in heaven and rejoicing when a lost soul in darkness comes to possess the light of life eternal. A few Sundays ago, the pastor in our church gave an invitation. If you would like to be saved, raise your hand. And I couldn't help but see that I kind of, you know, I'm a former pastor, so I always look a little bit, okay? I peek. All right. And there was a Spanish man sitting in the row in front of us with his teenage children. All right. His was the only hand that I could see that went up during the invitation. And I knew his name. I said, he was Hispanic, but he knew a little English, and his name was Davide. And I said, Davide, would you like to be saved today? And he kind of hung his head a little bit. Yes, I would. Tears started coming to his eyes. Praise the Lord, it was an opportunity to share the light of the gospel with Davide. And you know what? That was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago. I've seen him in church every Sunday since that time. Amen. He didn't used to come all the time with his kids. All right? But, you know, praise the Lord for the opportunities we have. Sometimes God puts people right in front of us to be able to share the gospel with. Amen? And so, you're the light of the world, a personal privilege. That's a personal choice. That's a personal gift. light, a personal responsibility to spread. So shine, a personal intensity. How bright are we going to shine for Jesus? Before men, a personal testimony that they, a personal audience, may see your good works, which is a personal accounting, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, which is a personal relationship and a time of rejoicing. Amen. Nothing like seeing a soul get saved. Amen. So, Christian, let's read that verse together and we'll close. Verse 16. All right, you ready? Begin. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You know, the gospel is something personal, that light from God for each of us to share. I hope and pray that you and I, because we're all accountable, will continue, or if we're not sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would begin. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts tonight, and we ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if we give an invitation, I trust that if, whether it's in your seat there, or you need to come forward and kneel and pray, Lord, I have a personal responsibility and a gift to share with others. It's the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's that need in your heart as a Christian to share that light, I hope God has spoken to you tonight, and that you will respond to whatever he wants to do in your heart and life. We ask, Lord, that you would have your free will in our hearts and lives, in our wills, and we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you keep your heads bowed? Would you stand with me this evening? Just let a verse or two play through. I think I don't speak only for myself, but I think I could speak for most in this room when we tell the Lord that we want to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But I think I could also speak for most of us here when I say that we don't always do the best job that we can. So maybe we could pray tonight together as a church. Help us to be just a wonderful, wonderful witness to the small community that we live in and this tri-city area. Help this church, not the building, but the people, to be a city set on a hill so that these people that live around us can see and know that they can come here when the Lord stirs their heart. And not only that, but help us to go out and be that light and compel those people to come in and witness to them when we have the opportunity. Well, amen. Please look this way. Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you, Brother McComby, for preaching to us. If you have not yet had the opportunity to meet him, I'm sure he'll be hanging around for a few minutes. So please stop by, shake his hand. Thank you for being here tonight. You are dismissed.